This is the third in the series of talks from the Ecodharma workshop in February that the Network of Buddhist Organisations hosted. This third and final talk is by Juliet Hackney, the current chair of the Network of Buddhist Organisations. She's a member of Western Chan Fellowship and a trustee there, and also has been involved in climate change activism locally in her hometown. We had some issues with the microphone at the beginning of this talk, but you can, if you listen carefully, you can make out what she's saying. And again, it's worth listening to. So I hope you enjoy this final talk from the Ecodharma workshop.
Start this little talk by telling you my understanding of the situation we're in.
And bring it closer.
I don't really think I have a better understanding than anybody else, which, as far as I recognise, is that we're in a terrible pickle. What do you think that's a bit early? This is a terrible situation. Yeah. There's global warming and there's the midst of the sixth mass extinction. What more do I need to say? And I mean, this stuff actually fills me with anxiety. And I find that quite difficult to cope with. I would say that I'm quite a calm person. I have a calming practice, but this situation is really disturbing. So it turns out really that humans aren't very good at long-term planning. You know, we're being so clever. With microphones. Industrialization, mechanization, plasticization, constant innovation. Thank you. When really we can learn a lot from what we might call primitive cultures, who seem to have a great deal of wisdom. I think we've all heard the saying from the native Indian Cree community, only when the last tree is cut down, the last fish being caught, and the last stream poisoned, will we realise we can't eat money. It's pretty straightforward, really. Maybe we're not so clever after all. But we're Buddhists, and Buddhism is about knowing about human nature and our not-so-clever tendencies, and understanding ourselves and understanding each other. And the idea is to relieve suffering. That led me to Chan Buddhism. I'm a member of Western Chan Fellowship. If you don't know about Chan, it's the Chinese precursor of Zen. Chan is a word that's a transliteration of the Sanskrit dhyana. And in Japanese, that becomes Zen. And it means meditation. Meditation is at the core of my practice. And we can trace this back to Bodhidharma, who took the Buddha's arisen from India to China in the 5th century. He was a great inspiration and continues to be an inspiration for many of us today. There are images you'll be familiar with bulging eyes, because he legendarily cut off his eyelids to strengthen his practice. He faced a war in a cave for 9 years to find the truth. And having done that, he didn't stop, he passed it on to local people and the Shaolin monastery and monks. They didn't know how to meditate, didn't have that kind of practice. There was a lot of dependency on doctrines, but he showed them that, you know, Buddhism and the teaching of the Buddha is the 38th patriarch of the Buddhism, dating back to the Buddha, and showed us that actually realization is about practice and understanding for ourselves. He passed on a sutra called the Vankatana Sutra, in which, you know, we're again and again urged to practice, to see beyond philosophy, words and letters, and seek self-realization. Master Shen Yang, in my tradition, called the seeing the nature, and practice gives us an opportunity to do that, which sounds a bit like XR, telling the truth. And as Yana said earlier, we live in a culture of obfuscation, where people and organisations with vested interests manipulate us, sell us stories, sell us things, sell us a system which benefits them. Fake news has become normal. People accept this. You know, it's actually being clear that outright lies are being told, and rather than this being addressed, people actually continue with the system of lying and untruth rather than facing reality and seeing the world as it really is. Sometimes recognizing the kind of crisis and responding to it is called waking up. And here's another parallel of Buddhism, where we wake up to the reality of ourselves and the situation as it really is. Buddhist teachings didn't tell us how to deal with the climate crisis. This hasn't happened before. But it does tell us how to see reality for what it is, and also to accept it and guide us in how to respond. Bodhidharma didn't see the truth and then relax. He transmitted the Dharma to followers, to people who also wanted to see reality, and he was active teaching. I came across a quote not long ago from Nelson Mandela, and there's a fabulous image of him on the wall downstairs that I was just reminded of when I came in. And he said, to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. We don't just stop when we work out what we see as a way that might suit us to live. We see what the best way for all of us is, and so we practice. We develop our understanding of ourselves and others, and we act. We actually don't need to know more about the situation to find the right way to act. Right action is simply the appropriate thing in any situation to have the best outcome for oneself and others. So, what am I doing about this? What can we do? The last 3 years, I've been thrown into a variety of uncomfortable situations, this being the latest. I became the chair of the Network of Buddhist Organisations, who have now developed this Eco-Dharma, and I'm very grateful to see all these people here. I'm grateful to be in this uncomfortable situation and tell you about how I'm responding. So, you know, I've thought about my own life and what I need to do to make changes that allow me to feel comfortable with sitting in this chair. You know, how I eat, what I choose to buy, the clothes I wear, the transport I take, my pounds, my activities. And I mean, we all have to do that for ourselves. We have our own different capacities, our own different resources, our own different responsibilities. I'm not a climate scientist. You know, I work in health, and I don't know as much as you guys about the underlying situation, but I can see that I need to do something and respond as the best of my ability with this. I decided I needed to connect with others, and actually being with NBO has really helped me to develop this, because we have this program called Buddhist Action Month, where we try and connect together with Buddhists. And I actually moved to a different house, different part of the UK. I live in Derbyshire now, and moved from Lincolnshire, and I've been in Derbyshire for a year. So I really felt a strong need to connect with other people and make friends there. And I went to a climate protest at our county council and bumped into a whole load of other people who lived down the road from me who were concerned about this. And now we actually have a local climate group. I live in Matlock Bath, which is a little holiday town. We've got some thermal waters, and our little group of maybe about 10 people are, we influence our parish council to declare a climate emergency. They immediately altered the lighting at Matlock Bath illuminations that take place every year. There were, you know, significant energy savings. They're working on a banner going up in the village. We've been involved in cleaning the river and the surrounding areas. We have a member of the group looking at air quality. We have another member working with local people to develop energy systems using thermal water. You know, these things actually are possible. And I started feeling maybe going to meetings like this is just an echo chamber of like-minded people being in a room, you know, helping each other feel better. But actually, my life has changed, and, you know, I think I see the people around me, their lives are changing too, and we're doing what we can. I have some influence in my Sangha. There's resistance sometimes to influencing the people around us, and I find it's easy to get knocked back by negative reactions. But actually, through support and some positive feedback, we've now developed a climate neutral project in Western Child Fellowship. I have some influence with family and friends, and my brother is taking some of the things I've learned into his school in Canada, which is amazing. I have influence in my work, people I come across, people I share with. There are ways, this, you know, teaching to support our environment. We can lobby, we can protest, we can ask our system to change, and we can change the system for ourselves. So I'm changing. Events like this are happening. People are getting together, and the ripple effect is occurring. We do choose what we spend our time and effort on, and the things we choose to do actually affect us and affect others. We know in Buddhism we are completely interconnected. There's no separation, not one tiny particle of separation. And this understanding actually allows us to be free from our fearful concerns of protecting ourselves, and we can respond to the bigger picture, experience reality, and find a way of acting more wisely, more compassionately, and recognizing that what we do influences everyone and everything else. Practice underpins this. It gives us our strength and patience to act from our true nature. And so we keep practicing, we keep caring for ourselves, we keep caring for others, and we do the best we can. We can feel empowered to act. I didn't start sitting in this chair, and here I am. We can think about what we want to achieve and set goals and find ways to achieve it. I started keeping a gratitude diary because I find this really overwhelming. I find anxiety of this situation really difficult to manage. And looking after myself and feeling grateful for what we've got in this world and for the opportunities we have is an important way of sustaining myself. And really, we can just carry on with our desire to find the right way to respond and be here together, connecting, doing that.